Welcome to Amiga Ireland. It's our January episode. I'm Irla.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Luke.
In today's episode, the A1222 is soon taking orders for 2020 delivery.
We have a look at Raid Over Moscow for the Amiga.
And Prism, Wi-Fi, PCMCIA drivers, they get updated as well.
Excellent. And we've got news, games and more coming. But just before we get cracking, how is everybody? Rob, how have you been in the last month?
Oh, the usual, you know, no time to scratch, as they say. I was in Ireland for 2 weeks there with the family. Thought I'd get loads of Amiga work done. No. I have my, you know, my A-Rex presentation to do, my dodgy rocks to work on. Got near none of it. I prioritized drinking and family stuff. So this is what happens. So that was it. Busy Christmas. Oh, and I finished my LED clock and got that working. So that's
cool.
That's on the shelf in my parents' house now. So it was when I left. I don't know if it's still there now.
That was a present for them.
It was, yeah. So all working and finished. So happy out.
I've had time to test out various bits and pieces that I bought over the last year. I bought, you know, a hard disk from Retro Ready for the Amiga 1200, so I could fill it up with games and demos and all kinds of things. And then an Amiga kit, I bought some cables to go from the video out of the Amiga and the Commodore 64 to SCART, so I can, you know, upscale and go to HDMI with another device and stuff like that. So I've been playing around with those just to make sure they work for the event. I'd planned, you know, taking a day or two over Christmas to actually just play games nonstop, but I actually didn't get any time because, you know, it's all about trying to catch up and meet people. So it's been a bit insane, to be honest. I feel a bit robbed of a holiday, but we've decided, myself and a couple of other family members, we're going to try and meet in November instead next year. And there'll be less pressure to sort of meet and all that at actual Christmas time. So we can just, you know, have one family gathering and people can make it great and that. So, yeah, that's it. The hype is building up for Amiga Ireland. Thanks for the... There's been some nice emails and stuff from people who are excited. I'm definitely excited about it. There's going to be some nice developments that'll come up just on the day. You know, there's some really interesting people coming. There's some good displays that are going to be there. So, I'm just excited about that. Luke, how are you doing?
Well, I've been busy as well, just as you guys. The Christmas period and the New Year, that was a quiet period for me, to be honest. I tried to spend as much time as possible with my family, not actually touching the computers, but touching as little as possible. That's the thing. So for me, it was just like a time for summary of the previous year and making plans for the new one.
Excellent. Yeah, there's something about getting away from the computers too, isn't there?
I have to get some time. Because we are so, you know, like overloaded actually with notifications, with emails, with all that stuff. So sometimes you just have to take a step back just to relax, just to forget about that. In a way, to be honest, I think I missed the first half of the 90s. When we were still sort of in a analog age, although the digital age was on the horizon, at least for me.
Yeah, where you did one thing at a time, and the results came after, and that parallel and all this stuff. Yeah, I totally get it.
Using a computer was a deliberate thing. You go into a room and you do it. And then you switch it off and you go away. It's not something you carry with you all day, every day.
Yeah, that's right. You went outside, you played football, and that's it. You came back, you turned on the computer, played for like 2-3 hours. There you go.
Yeah.
Switch it off, gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed something I do in a really bad habit, and I really don't like it, is instead of deciding to do something on the computer and doing it, I sit down and open the laptop and log in and then decide, now, what am I going to do? Or what is it I need to do? And I find it very, so now I'm, you know, keeping the laptop closed and under the desk, and I'm trying to decide what I'm going to do and get in and out quickly, you know. But I hear you completely. I got one day.
I think that's the influence. Unfortunately, that's the influence of the, you know, like social media that keeps distracting us all the time and keeping us, you know, like anxious, you know, like in a standby mode for new notification. Yeah, yes, and we've just, you know, like crossed that border when we are not, you know, like calm anymore, in a way, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. I got one day over the holiday where we were away visiting relations, and you know, between meals, people were just kind of, you know, spacing out and not really, you know, it wasn't all action all the time. So I went off up to the room and I read a book for a few hours. I'm just at the end of that Terminator 2 trilogy, which is it's better than any of the movies, like, you know, the sequels after mm-hmm. T2, and just sitting there doing absolutely nothing but just reading and knowing, like you say, there's going to be no notifications coming. There's no other window. I'm just reading the book.
That's right.
You know? It's linear.
It was single task.
So relaxing.
Single, like, simple task.
Yeah. I felt so good and wholesome and happy.
This is what I'm. This is what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah. That's the feeling.
Let's move on to the news. The A1222 limited edition early orders are now open for €400, and the shipping will be this year. You can visit A1222plus.com, and we're still waiting for that to open to come online, but we're told it's going to be very soon. Exciting times.
Royal Mail have introduced a set of stamps that are commemorating classic British computer games, and there's a set of 8 of them. And I think 4 of them are Amiga originals. So you've got Lemmings, Worms, Populous, and what was the other one? Sensible Soccer. Micro Machines as well. That's a good showing for the Amiga there. But it's a lovely set of collector stamps.
New Saint version released for OS 4 with support of over 500 HP printers. So new drivers coming.
And Versus number 9, an Amiga chart magazine for OS 4 has been released, and you can go to os4depot.net. We've got the full link for that here.
Terrible Fire 1260 accelerator is getting very, very close to being complete. So it's currently with John Hertel and Stephen Leary who are testing it and refining it. And I think the last revision of the board, or nearly the last revision of the board, is being tested at the moment. So that's very exciting for people who want a high-end 68K in their 1200.
AmiBerry 3.0.11 binary released, and it adds a lot of new features. For example, touch control support for the graphical user interface and NVIDIA Jetson Nano Target. And additionally, a lot of fixes. For example, like a CD32 emulation fix and removed special mouse acceleration setting for Android.
Hans Faust is porting Bars and Pipes to Aros, and that's a thread on AmigaLife.org, so you can go over there and have a look. Good luck to Hans Faust with that.
New version of Wi-Fi Prism drivers by Neil Kafferke. Actually, I've been working with Neil on those drivers, and thanks to his massive support, we've managed to add at least 13 new cards to those drivers. And thank you very much for that, Neil. Great job.
Wow.
That's excellent. Yeah, yeah. Great stuff, Neil.
That's amazing. A Commodore 64 calendar for 2020 has been released, and it has been reviewed over on AmigaGuru.com, and it includes, on one of the months, Spy vs. Spy, my favourite.
There's a massive slam tilt competition happening at the moment, or all this week, in France, which is usually it's like a Sensible Soccer competition or whatever, but this is a slam tilt, which is the one of the big pinball games on the Amiga, and that's happening right now. And there's it's actually some significant prizes, like discounts from web stores and things like that going on. So it's very it's an interesting choice, but it's excellent.
Amiga Future magazine have a new 2020 issue. You can order it as always from amigafuture.de.
Screen Time has been released on AmiNet. This integrates with Workbench Top Bar, and it allows a lot of formatting issues for the time, and date. So there are plenty of these there already, but this one offers so many options that you can add to format how it's displayed, where it's displayed, its position, which workspaces, which windows. It's the Swiss Army knife of them all. And we have the link for that here too.
And finally, some sad news, because Chuck Peddle has passed away. So if anyone doesn't know who he is, he was a chip designer and was instrumental in the creation of the 6502 CPU. So that was most of the 8-bit computers used that chip. And it was like, it was amazing because it was a powerful chip, which was also affordable. And it was really kind of, you know, absolutely dominated the home computer market for, you know, probably 10 years. So that's sad now, he's passed away. But there's, if you go to team6502.org, you can see that there's a tribute to his work there.
Yeah, sad news is right.
Very sad news, to be honest. That chip was also very easy to program. That's the thing.
Yeah, it was ideal for the low cost market, like all the Atari 8-bits, the Commodore 64, oh well, most of the Commodore 8-bits.
BBC Micro as well, yeah. Apple.
The NES.
Yeah, everything. NES, yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah. Perfect.
Just going back there, those stamps, this is the first I've heard of them. That's incredible that there's a few Amiga games going to be on it, like SWAS.
Yeah, it's interesting that, like, you know, because it's only when I saw them as a collection like that, I think, wow. You know, that, like, because I'm not sure about Micro Machines, but there's four that definitely started on the Amiga.
There is Micro Machines as well. I think Micro Machines, if I'm not mistaken, actually started on Sega Mega Drive. But yeah, I remember it was very, very popular on Amiga.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, absolutely.
It was very good. And I'm sure there was a port for C64 in the making as well, but instead they released a very nice game called Slicks Codemasters. Mm-hmm. Very nice. One of my favorite, if not my favorite, racer for C64 as well. Mm-hmm. So, brilliant thing. You can pre-order them, I think, now, and they will be released on the 21st of January.
Yeah, and there's a second set is basically a set of four stamps that are exclusively about Tomb Raider through the years.
Yeah, that's
right.
But
the set of eight has, there's Worms is there, there's Lemmings, like say Sensible Soccer, like, so you've got
Elite.
Populous.
There's Elite as well.
Elite, and and Wipeout, I think, is there as well.
Wipeout, yeah.
The only one that doesn't have an Amiga port, I think.
And there is Wipeout for Amiga port.
There's Wipeout 2097.
Yeah, actually. That's right.
Yeah,
there is. And Dizzy, of course.
Oh, Dizzy, of course. Yeah, I was trying to think of that one, yeah. So it's actually, I think the stamp itself has the Spectrum version of Dizzy?
Yes, it is Spectrum C64 version.
Yeah. But they're all games that had Amiga releases there. So, mm-hmm. And four of them were Amiga first, I think, which is, mm-hmm. Cool.
Very nice.
Very cool. And, you know, that 1260 would really make it easy to play demos at the event every year. Terrible virus.
Hint, hint, Stephen, if you're listening.
Yeah. What would be, like, how much is there left to do when you get one of those boards? And do you know if this will be a dirty PCBs job as well that you can order as
well?
Easily?
That should be the case, yeah. So it should be, basically what he does is he releases the Gerbers for these, which means you can order them from any of the PCB manufacturers, and you just put on the couple of chips that are involved and program the firmware. So the single biggest thing is the 060 processor, which, you know, is expensive, but the rest of it will cost buttons, really, you know. You'd build a restor for $20, so it's really just the chip that's the problem. And the Amiga 1200 connector. But that's available now it's not cheap, but it's available.
It's available at Retro Ready as well.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I've just ordered a batch of them, so I'm fully prepared for that as well.
In anticipation of these kind of projects.
Yes, that's right. In anticipation of these kind of projects and other projects as well. And, you know, like if someone wants to fix it, fix your board, for example, Blizzard or Apollo or any other board or memory expansions. So I've got them in stock as well.
Yeah. So, There are quite a few of these projects floating around already. Like there's the RAM board and a couple of other CPU boards that are, in the works. So it's going to be a popular item.
But just like you said, Rob, the biggest issue is actually to get to get the O60, and it's the most expensive, I think, part amongst that. I've seen the video. I've seen the video, and Chucky said that it should be between 150 and 200 euros tops without the CPU. Yeah. This is what he said.
Oh, just to buy.
To buy, yeah.
To buy the board ready made. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the board without the CPU. This is what he said. Yeah. Between 150 and 200. Yeah, of course, labor included.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you can solder, like, now there is some pretty serious soldering involved. But yeah, if you can do that.
Definitely.
It's a lot cheaper than that for the parts, which is, you know, that's it.
And if you were going to buy an 060 chip and, say, a connector, what would that cost you, you know, roughly? Couple hundred?
Potentially, it depends. The 060s, you can get the older revisions of 060 for not that much money, less than 100 quid maybe. Mm. But for the ones that people want are the overclockable ones. And they're like the revision 6, and they'll cost you a pretty penny.
And it's very hard to get them, actually. Yeah. That's the thing.
John Hertel has a few of them, usually. He has one or two going, if anyone knows him.
Usually, just like you said, usually Rev 6, the one that you can, you know, like run at even at the speed of 100 megahertz, costs £100 plus £100. So it's something around like 120, 130 euro if you're lucky to find it, because there are so many, you know, like fakes floating around.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And it's easy to get Rev 1, and it's still pretty alright to get Rev 5. You can run Rev 5 at the speed of 75, 80 megahertz if you're lucky. So that's still pretty alright. Because usually Rev 1 runs at 50 was the original speed. But 60 megahertz, maybe 66 if you're lucky.
Yeah.
With Rev 1.
I have a Rev 1 on my Blizzard, and it ran at 66 megahertz for about 20 years. I've downclocked it to 60 now, but it still gets hot, but it needs a fan.
Mine runs, I've got a Rev 1 as well, and mine runs at 50, and it gets pretty hot as well.
Yeah.
It's not as hot as 040, but it's still pretty hot, too hot, I think, for 060.
Yeah. But the theory is you shouldn't need a heat sink on it if it's at 50 megahertz.
Yes,
but,
that's right.
It does get hot. It does get hot.
I've got a heat sink on it.
Yeah. No, me too.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. You can get the older chips fine. But if you buy from John Hertel, you're paying a bit more than you would paying it from a random eBay website. But he'll have tested it, and he'll make sure it's the correct revision. It's not being remarked or anything. Yeah. So that's the way to go if you are interested in that.
So if you have less money, for example, to grab Rev 5, it's still pretty all right. It runs a bit hotter. But it's still pretty all right to use it, and you can run it at the speed of 75 or 80 megahertz. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. It costs like 70, 80 pounds, I think.
Yeah. I should say as well, that the Terrible Fire board is a pretty basic board. So it's literally just the CPU, 128 megs of solid RAM, and I think IDE as well. But it does have control of the clock in software.
Which is nice. Really good. So, very nice.
Yeah, so you can use a shell command for adjusting the clock speed, and then, you know, only overclock it when you really want to for a demo, that, you know, you can use it that way. But yeah, it's nice. But there, you know, there are other boards in the works as well that are more featureful and will be more expensive, but will be a more complete thing, if you like.
Yeah. You're talking about Warp, for example.
Yeah.
2060, the Polish board, that's going to cost 499 euro, but that's got a graphics card, as far as I remember, Wi-Fi,
and sound card,
and pretty quick hard drive controller as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's you're like a really, really polished. That sounds very funny. Polish board that is really polished.
Oh yeah.
So that's a really good one. And I'm sure they've got the you know, like the support and the abilities to produce it to the very, very high standard.
Absolutely.
Right, let's move on to the games. First up, an in-progress port of Chaos Engine C64 has been teased on Twitter. This was by Marv, a developer, and he already has the graphics, the sprites, the movement working, and you can see level 1. And yeah, that's really cool to see. I hope that gets somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Trap Runner bonus, Black Strawberry Cake. I had to try and digest that name. That's a new Trap Runner game for the Amiga. It's a sort of a platform runner puzzle game, and it's a nice looking little thing. So have a look at that.
Battle Brush, a multiplayer party game for classic Amiga with optional AI components. See it if you like it. The link will be in the show notes.
Night of the Zombies 1.0 has been released for OS4. I looked into this. This looks like a really good, actually a nice, simple game where you just run around and shoot an endless flow of zombies in a sort of a slightly remote rural area. So it's pretty good. I was checking to see, is this a port of something else? I looked up Night of the Zombies in search. There are so many different games with Night of the Zombies as the name. I really don't know. Is this a new game? It could well be new. It could be a port, but it's a good, simple FPS. Very nice. Check it out.
Dead Cold has been released for Eros. This is a terminal kind of program, but it's instead of being sort of turn based or, you know, typing commands based, it's real time. So, you know, you can move up and down and your display, your top down display is made of ASCII characters, but it moves around and scrolls with you. And it's really, really interesting. And pretty sure this was a terminal thing you could get on Linux that you could telnet into years ago, but it's nice to see an Eros version of it, and it looks really, really good.
Yoomp for OCS, ECS, Amigas is in the making. The game itself is a clone of an Atari XL XEN C64 game. Basically, you jump a ball inside of a rendered tunnel, but as far as I remember, it is very difficult to do such thing on Amiga in general, not to mention Amiga in, you know, like a 500 or 600. So the game's got usually very nice graphics, and the tunnel's animated, and the music's really great. So I look forward to this game as well. The pictures and the link will be in the show notes. Why not have a look?
And finally, for the game section, Neverball and Neverput have been released for OS4. These are a golf-style game, as well as one where you rotate the world to guide the ball. They're really good fun. They've been on Linux for quite a while, but these are OS4 releases. Really good quality, really enjoyable games, well worth checking out.
Finally.
Good man, Rob.
Sorry. That one was missed. Okay. And finally, Raid Over Moscow, there's a preview 2 has been released, which is basically sort of a release candidate for this game. So this is originally a C64 game, semi-isometric scrolling shooter. It was a nice little game anyway, but, it was never released on the Amiga completely, even though they'd sort of started the port. So, our friend Eric Hogan has, taken this on and is basically almost completed an Amiga port for it. Yes, and it looks really cool, and there's a playable, almost complete version of it now available, so you can have a look at the link there and download it and give it a go.
Right, and you're like another one that we have is a Jump, another clone of Jump, and this time a different developer has been working on an AGA version, so of course more colors, better rendering, faster speeds. You can see the first screenshots on ppa.pl, and that link will be in the description notes.
Okay, the actual end of the game section. Great. I need to... so there's a bit of an OS 4 emphasis on this since the A1222 is going to be released, with some really nice stuff there to check out. And I actually had pretty much every podcast we've done, I've bookmarked, you know, or made a note of a game I want to go back and check out. The aim was to do it at Christmas, and I've lost the list, so I have to go back through the AmigaUser.ie website, I think, and find them, because there were some really nice gems in there. Okay, let's go on to discoveries. My discovery is a music stream that has Amiga and Commodore 64 music. It's 0x29a.fi. It does what it says on the tin. It plays Amiga music and Commodore 64 SID tunes, and they sound really good. And it's constant 24/7. So good for parties.
Pen Partner is a driver for a particular type of graphics graphics tablet for the Amiga 68K, and that's been updated to add Wacom tablet support, which is excellent. So there was originally, or for a long time, there was a Wacom driver, but this was a sort of a driver that didn't work with the Wacom tablets at all. So that's very interesting to see that that it's been extended, and that, you know, all those features are available for both types of tablets now.
A big list of favorite commodities can be found on English Amiga boards. So if you're a fan of adding commodities, experimenting with them, updating your commodities drawer, why not have a look down there? English Amiga board.
And actually, I was looking at a commodity recently myself.
Okay, which one?
And I cannot remember, actually. It was about 2 weeks ago. There was something I was trying to do in the Amiga, and this commodity apparently did it. But when I got it, I wasn't sure where to put it. Yeah, I know you can put it in WB Startup. So where do you put a commodity? And what's the difference between a commodity and like a utility, say?
Well, you can actually, you would normally put it in WB Startup if you want it running all the time. But basically, a commodity is sort of a helper thing. Think of it like the system tray in Windows or Linux, you know, where you, in the bottom right, where you've got all your sort of, you know, you've got little things like you can right click on the clock or calendar. But the main things are things like like the screen blanker, like, you know, the screensaver.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or magic menu. Yeah.
Yeah, magic menu.
Yeah.
Exchange
itself. I think one of the most popular at that time were the Exchange and Multi CX. They do the same thing, but I think those two were the most popular.
Multi CX adds a load of extra features.
That's right.
Yeah, so Exchange gives you a list of all the commodities that are running, and lets you turn them on and off and remove them and stuff like that. But it's basically just a program that normally sits in the background and it only sort of shows itself when you want it to. But the main ones, like it drives me nuts using an Amiga without click to front installed. So I like to be able to double click on a window to bring it to the front.
Yes, that's the first one that
first
I use
thing
as
I do.
Well.
Yeah.
Same.
So that's a commodity, and there are commodities for disabling the caps lock light. You know, if you keep on hitting the caps lock key by accident, there's a commodity for disabling that. There are commodities for changing the mouse behavior, for making the pointer disappear when you're typing. You know, there's loads of little things like that. And the commodity system was introduced in OS2, and it's basically provides a whole heap of hooks into the input-output system of the machine. So you can kind of intercept keyboard and mouse movements and keyboard key presses, mouse movements and things, and modify them or interpret them, or, you know, just pass them through. Hotkeys and stuff like that. F key is another excellent one that you can use to run programs or to do certain tasks with, you know, basically hotkeys. And of course SMB mounter, which is my own one that, sits in the background and lets you mount, Samba shares. So it's a front end for SMBFS, and that runs as a commodity as well.
A clock can be commodity as well. That's right.
Yeah. There's dozens of them, hundreds of them.
Yeah. Pointy eyes. I remember. I've got, I think, pointy eyes as well. Very funny one. Yeah.
The classic.
Yeah.
So next up, we've got Ask Amiga.
Okay, so this is another one from the Retro Computing Stack Exchange site, And it was a question regarding split screen Amiga games. Now, normally split screen Amiga games are, it's very easy to split the screen horizontally. Sorry. It's because essentially, you know, it's like pulling down a screen. So you've got sort of the top half of the screen is one screen and the bottom half of the screen is another, like, OS screen, if you like. So, you know, the way you can pull Workbench down and find Lux Paint behind and things like that. That's how a lot of games work with a split screen horizontally. And things like ImageFX do that for the control panel. A few other programs do it as well. And it's a nice, it's a bit, that's kind of like, that's for free. The hardware does that and it's basically automatic. You just call the copper to introduce a new screen at a certain point and there you go. But the question was about actual vertical split screens and they're much less widely used because there isn't an easy way to do it on the Amiga. So, but you have a couple of games like Lemmings and Settlers where the screen is split down the middle.
There's one more, I think. Death Mask.
I'm not familiar with it, actually.
It's a 3D shooter, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Sort of like a very primitive kind of first-person shooter.
One of the earliest ones.
Yes, that does ring a bell now. I didn't realize that had a two-player split screen.
I think it does,
There you go. But basically, the Amiga chipset doesn't have any sort of facility for splitting vertically the way it does horizontally. So what you have to do is you can use the copper and you program the copper to basically what happens is as the screen is being drawn, you know, it's drawing it line by line. And what you do is you get the copper to relocate where the pixels are being read from in memory halfway across the screen. So now the problem is that while you can do that very easily, going down the screen line by line, when you're going across the screen, the beam is so fast, it's actually very, very difficult to do. So you have to get the copper to do it at exactly the right point. And the longer it takes to do the switch, the bigger a gap you'll get in the middle. And the gap in the middle is basically going to be garbage. So if you imagine you've got a bitmap on the left and it's drawing and it gets halfway across the bitmap and then you're telling it, oh no, we want this other bitmap instead. In the meantime, the beam may have moved 16 pixels or something. And so those 16 pixels are rubbish. So how they do it in the likes of Lemmings and I presume Settlers as well, is basically they do that and then they cover up the garbage in between with a sprite. And because on the Amiga you get full screen height sprites, that's actually easy to do. So if you know Lemmings, they fill up the middle space with two bars that show you how many lemmings you've saved, and that's what uses that space. But if you were to remove that sprite, you'd probably find all sorts of mashed up graphics behind it, where the copper is adjusting pointers while the beam is actually moving. And that's how you do it. So it's a pretty nice copper split or a pretty nice copper effect that's being done there, and it's just one of those things that's a nice little a side effect of how the Amiga chipset works that you can do it at all and just use a nice neat use of sprites to cover it up then.
That's cool.
Yeah. I'd never looked into that
more
before.
More complicated than I thought too.
that's the thing. It's one of these, it's a trick basically, you know, and that makes it more complicated to get the nice effect. But it's used a very good effect in Lemmings, because I it was one of those things I always wondered how they did it, but there you go.
So let's say you know how to program in C or assembly or whatever, and you want to go on the Amiga, but you know, you need to know these tricks and like how the hardware works a bit. Probably even in C, you need to know. Like,
oh, yeah, there's no way you do that without programming the hardware directly.
So, what's the first step to get an aerial view of how the thing works and you know, so you know what you're dealing with? Before you get in deep.
Well, you know, there are a couple of different approaches. You can have a look. There are a lot of sort of example code segments and stuff like that you can find on Aminet and all over the internet nowadays. But the ROM kernel manuals, or the hardware reference manual, sorry, has all the registers that are involved and what they do and a description of how to use them. Because ultimately that's what it comes down to, no matter what language you're using. So the hardware reference manual has a list of all the registers and how to use them and what you can do with them. And like, so you really need to, like, no matter what language you're using, whether it's C or Blitz or assembly, you need to deal with the registers. So you have to set up the screen the way you need it. And that can be done whatever way you need it, but you have to know how to find your bitmap pointers. You have to know about where it's actually fetching the bitmap from and how it's fetching it, which is, you know, the process the chipset goes through every line to grab the data from memory and basically push it out the RGB port. So you need to know how that goes, and you need to, then you need to be able to program the copper. So programming the copper involves building up a list of copper commands. Again, it's like assembly, but it's its own special language. And then you set the copper to trigger at certain horizontal positions. And what that will do is then you change the pointer to the appropriate line in another bitmap. And so then you have your two separate bitmaps side by side with, sort of a bunch of pixels in between. But every time the copper does something, I think it's like either 2 or 4 pixels that the beam moves on. It's that quick. Like, so a pixel is basically, on a low res screen is 140 nanoseconds. So pixels are really, really short time wise. You've got very little time to do things. So basically all you want to do is literally just change the memory location from one line of a bitmap to the other. So you wouldn't do any kind of changing of screen format or anything. That's literally just, I want this line of the bitmap and I want this line of the bitmap, and that's it. But you can do that with copper, and it will fire every line and do the same thing all the way down the screen, and that's it. And then just paste over the crack with a sprite.
Okay, let's move on to online activity. Yeah, our top tweet was our Happy New Year tweet. I'll see you in a few days. And we'd linked a demo to the Commodore 92 demo tune, which is just a brilliant tune or video to watch anytime, really. So no surprise there. And top mention was from Amigatronics. Thanks, Amigatronics. Our top Facebook post was Seamus's brain game, and congrats to Dominic on guessing the right answer there. Also, in close second was John Schaller's link to his A1000 video. John, safe travels. We're going to see you in a week or two. Yeah, take care and see you soon. And thanks to everyone that has been in touch by email. There's a lot of good preparation and excitement. Better than Christmas, in my opinion. New members, welcome to Rafael Pochek, Colin Lafferty, Stefan Simper, Jordi Carlos Sabals,
Martin S., Tim Ryan, Andrew Boyd,
Igor Popenko, Daniel Williams, and Kenneth O'Toole.
We're going to see everybody in just a couple of days on the 17th of January. I hope you all have safe flights and comfortable stay with us for the 2 days while you're here. If you're attending a workshop, don't forget to check the website for the preparation notes. With the preparation that you do in advance, and then with the bit of work that you're given afterwards to continue on, you know, you can get quite a bit out of the workshops. Of course, you don't have to do that. You can just take it in your stride as well. Yeah, looking forward to seeing you all there.
Cool, yeah. Should be good.
Good luck.
And also a big thanks to our sponsors this year again, who have very kindly helped us out financially, especially this new venue. It's not a cheap thing to run at all. And we've got sponsorship from A1200.net, who make, among other things, keycaps and cases, brand new ones for the Amiga 1200. Gorgeous stuff. There's Aeon, who are responsible for things such as the X5000 and the new upcoming A1222. We've also got Amiga Kit, who are possibly the largest retailer, who cover all kinds of things, software and hardware related to Amiga. You can visit amigakit.co.uk, I think, and .com to get those. Also, Downtime Publishing, Commodore The Inside Story. Thanks to them for their support. And last but definitely not least, Retro Ready. Thanks to Retro Ready himself, who's with us here at the moment, for covering us the last 2 years. It's really nice to have such a big chunk of our venue hire costs covered in advance. So it's really appreciated, all of you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Right, until next time.
Music was by Virtual Dimension and Banjo Gaioli.
And did we miss anything this month, do you think? Please get in touch and let us know on Twitter, Facebook, or you can email info@amigausers.ie. And if you have any questions, like technical questions for Ask Amiga, you can send them in the same way as well.
And the song this month a World of Commodore 92. So an amazing demo, amazing music. So yeah, enjoy. Get you in the mood for when we see you in a few weeks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.